Well, good evening, everyone. We're glad you're here tonight. Thank you for coming. We're going to be in the 119th Psalm, and we're going to be in the Daleth section, or the D section, letter D, which is the section that runs from verses 25 to 32. And here's what it says. My soul cleaves to the dust. Revive me according to your word. I have told of my ways, and you have answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts, so I will meditate on your wonders. My soul weeps because of grief. Strengthen me according to your word. Remove the false way from me, and graciously grant me your law. I have chosen the faithful way. I have placed your ordinances before me. I cling to your testimonies. O Lord, do not put me to shame. I shall run the way of your commandments, for you will enlarge my heart. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this psalm and for this section. Thank you for your people who've come out tonight, taken time out of their lives to be here. We pray your blessing on the text and also on each person. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, obviously, we're studying the 119th psalm, which is a psalm that, as we've said, is designed to exalt the written scriptures. Each section comes at the scriptures from a different angle. Each section exalts the word of God, but it comes from a different slant. It's a psalm that has 22 sections, as we've pointed out. Each section is part of the Hebrew alphabet, and this is the fourth letter in the Hebrew alphabet, which is the letter D in English, which means that every word, and we've underlined it for you in the text, the words that are underlined are actually the words that start the section, and every one of those words that start the section begin with a word that starts with the letter D. For example, the word that actually begins verse 25 is the word cleaves. It's the word dabik. And as you see, it starts with the letter D. So the word means to be firmly glued to something, which in this case is the dust or the dirt. As the psalm opens in verse 25, we read, "My soul cleaves to the dust." And just that image of your soul cleaving to the dust is about as depressing as it gets. And so when you open up with that statement, it is pretty clear that at times God's people can get very low. We all can. I mean, we're God's people. We can get beaten down to the point that, in this case, their soul's low as the dust. There are times when we can find ourselves in despairing situations. And it's in those exact moments when we need the written word of God. Because the word of God has the power to pull us out of the dirt. Word of God has the power to pull us out of depression. It has the power to take a broken down, bruised soul and give it a new lease on life. And that's the point of this particular section. The primary point is the writer realizes that God's word is the only existing reality that can actually lift his troubled soul out of its darkness and depression. So he asks God that he would let his word accomplish that for him. When we find ourselves in low moments of life, it's this book that can really lift our spirits and make our soul soar. Now, in keeping with the words that begin with the letter D, this particular section is about a soul that is dark. It apparently is dirty, it's depressed, it's drained, it's disillusioned. And the person wants out of that state. I mean, the person wants revival. The person wants to have some positive things back in the life. And when you look at language like in this particular section of the psalm, what we would conclude is the word of God is capable of reviving anyone from any disaster or crisis. God's word is able to set people free from anything. Now, there are a series of requests that we're going to look at in this 8-verse section, but there are two general themes that are communicated in this section. The first theme is, when the soul is depressed, we need to be talking to God. That is an important lesson for us to learn. When we're depressed, and I don't care what brought on the depression, it may be your own sin brought the depression on you. We need to be talking to God, as you're going to see right in this very section. And secondly, when our soul's depressed, we need to be studying God's Word. Those two elements are pretty clear from this section tonight, and those are two very simple keys to getting out of a depressed rut. Now, there are six main requests that I want to show you tonight from this text. Number one, the depressed writer asks God to revive his troubled soul. Verse 25, "My soul cleaves to the dust, revive me according to your word." Now, the writer obviously was totally depressed, beaten down in the soul. The spirituality was low. And the image of a soul that's beaten down in the dust is one that's just low. It's afflicted. It's oppressed. It describes one who's so low that apparently he thought God had abandoned him. It's an emotional state of deep degradation. This guy's in deep depression, flat on his face in the dust. Now, in that state, in that low condition, this man knew there was something that could revive him. He was smart enough to understand, when I get down and when I get low, there is something in existence that can revive me, and what that something is the Word of God. He said, the Word of God can revive me. And the word revive means that Word of God can put strength back into my life. That Word of God can put power back into my life. That can put power and strength right into my soul. So this guy who's depressed, who's at wit's end, comes to realize, I'm low, but I know there's a way out of this. And simply stated, this depressed person knew that God's Word has the power to put life back into my soul. It can give me strength. It can give me encouragement. So no matter how low or dark or depressing things were, this man realized, if I go to God and I ask God to let His Word revive me, He can do that. The Word of God has that kind of power. In fact, the Word of God says it's a living book. It's living. It's active. And we must always remember, God is able to lift pathetic souls out of their pathetic condition with His Word. He's done that for many of us many times. He's lifted us out of our pathetic condition through His precious Word. So, when we find ourselves low and depressed, always remember this. The place for revival is the Bible. There's nothing like it. Nothing like it. The Bible has power in it like no other book in the world. The Bible can revive a soul. Never forget that. The place for revival is not the pill or bottle or counseling. It is the Word of God. That's where you find revival. And I'm sure when you get a guy so low today who would say, my soul cleaves to the dust. Can you imagine somebody walking into a counselor today and saying, nah, I'm so depressed, my soul cleaves to the dust. They would probably say, we need to get you into group therapy. We need to sit you down with a bunch of other people, and you can all share what you think your problem is. God says, get to my word. Get to my word. Because my word is the thing that can revive the soul. Now, the second request is he asks God to teach him his statutes. Notice verse 26. I've told of my ways, and you have answered me. Teach me your statute. Now, this is one interesting verse. It starts out with a guy saying, I've told you, God, of my ways. That is real honest communication between this man and God. What this means is this writer went before the Lord, open, honest, about everything in his life. He obviously got before God, told him the truth. What I understand the language to mean is when he was before the Lord, he didn't try to hide anything. He didn't try to cover anything. He didn't try to, as it were, couch things in some generic language. This guy was open, honest, and straight with God about his sin. He was open, honest, and straight with God about his situation, about his sorrows. He apparently was open about his failures. He was honest about his struggles. He was honest with God about his fears, about his anxieties. He obviously is talking to God in an honest way. Now, most people don't realize that. This kind of session with God, this confession, is marvelous therapy. It's the best therapy in the world. We're not talking about confessing to a priest. We're talking about talking to God, confessing to God. And that is exactly what this man was doing. And I love something Charles Bridges, the old scholar of the 1800s, said. He said, hypocrites often pray, but never pray like this. I mean, a hypocrite will never go before God and open up their heart and declare all their ways. A hypocrite will talk in real flowery type of language and pharisaical piety, and yet will not open up and tell God the truth. But honesty before the Lord is the key. It's the key to getting our soul out of the dust. It's the key to getting our life out of the dirt. Honest confession. Honest communication with the Lord. And because he had this open, honest communication with the Lord, and because of the fact that he apparently sensed that God had forgiven him and answered him, he felt, I have a right to go to God and ask God, God, teach me your word. Teach me your statutes. Because he knew that God's word was the thing that can strengthen him. God's word could put him back on that path of the blessings of God. So, may I suggest to all of us, when you find yourself depressed, talk honestly with God. Kneel down before the great physician, because he really does have the power to heal the soul. And even though this man was depressed, it just leaps at you from these verses. Even though he's depressed, he knew the importance of being taught the scriptures. He had that sense about him. He wanted to be taught the word of God, and he wanted God to open up his mind and heart and allow him to see things and be instructed from the word. I'm telling you, if you're sensing a desire to know the word, God's doing that in you. He does that in us. That's his business. Because not everybody has that passion to want to know the books of the Bible and what the next verses talk about. But that's something God does in people who are open and honest before him. His third request is he asked God for the ability to understand the word. Verse 27. Make me understand the way of your precepts, so I'll meditate on your wonders. Now, the writer wanted to understand the word of God to the point that he could meditate on the wonders of God. The writer obviously senses his own lack. He obviously realizes, in order to understand God's word, I need God's help. It's like Paul said in Corinthians, spiritual truth may only be discerned by spiritual means. But I don't want us to overlook what's implied here. What's implied here is God's word reveals wonderful things about God, deep things about God, and the writer longed to carefully and accurately understand the word of God so he could meditate in his mind on the wonderful deep things of God. And those words, meditate on your wonders, do reveal that there are some amazing things to be seen in the word of God. The word of God will come to life for one who has an honest relationship with God. The word of God will pull one out of a rut for one who has an honest relationship with God. The word of God will show amazing things to those who have a heart that want to know them. And in order to understand those wonderful things, it's pretty clear from the verse, God must be the one who makes us understand those things. You can't do it on your own, nor can I. In other words, God has to open up our minds and hearts so that we can understand his word, and he'll only do that with one who's honest before him. One who's talking to God honestly about his ways. And when he gets an honest person before him who says, God, let me understand your precepts. Let me understand your ways so that I can think about those things and meditate on those things. That's a marvelous prayer. And may I keep in mind our context? I think that's important. This guy's depressed. This person, when he writes this section, is in total depression. He starts out, my soul cleaves to the dust. But again, don't you see? He realizes the key out of this is the Word of God. But to get out of it through the Word of God, I've got to be doing honest business with God. I can't be playing games. I have to be open and honest before the Lord when I am, My soul can be brought out of this dust. And when you meditate on the Word of God, it does have an uplifting effect on you. Just thinking about the Scriptures, wanting to know what a verse means, wanting to see the next series that we're going through, the next exposition. I mean, there's something uplifting about that. There's something that pulls you up. And that is exactly what God's Word is capable of doing. Now, the fourth request is he asks God for strength. Verse 28, my soul weeps because of grief. Strengthen me according to your word. Now, again, you see this guy's depressed. He was overwhelmed with grief. His soul wept. Have you ever been so depressed that you were overwhelmed with grief because of your sin? Now, you don't have to answer me that. I don't even want to know the answer to that myself. But have you ever been that way before God? Totally overwhelmed with grief because of your sin. Have you ever been to the point where you shed tears? Where you cried, perhaps yourself to sleep? The New English Translation Bible Hebrew scholars suggest a good way to understand this is that his soul was collapsing. It was crumpling in grief. And the question comes, where can a soul that is that depressed find the strength to go on? Where can a person who's that low find strength to move forward? Well, the answer to it is in verse 28, your word, the word of God. That's where a person can find strength to go on. Charles Spurgeon's church literally physically collapsed. And many people were killed. He went into very deep depression. And he wrote these words, heaviness of heart is a killing thing. And when it abounds, it threatens to turn life into a long death in which a man seems to drop away in perpetual grief. There are people who are totally and completely depressed. It's like their whole life is just a long death waiting to die. Where in the world can they get strength to come out of that rut? The Word of God. That's what this psalmist is realizing. It's the Word of God. And I guarantee you this, generally speaking, most people who are depressed aren't serious about they're talking to God and the Word of God. Because if they were, they wouldn't be depressed. Which brings us to the fifth request. The depressed writer asks God to remove one thing and grant another. Now, verse 29 is intriguing. Remove the false way from me and graciously grant me your law. Now, I'm making an assumption here based on what is stated in that verse. I'm assuming that part of the reason for the depression that this person was in is because he'd wandered off the path of God into a false way. I think that's in the context. In other words, one of the reasons why this guy was so low is because he apparently had drifted off into some way that was contrary to the true ways of God. So what he does here is he asks God to remove the false way from him, which obviously refers to the lifestyle or the choice that he made to wander off of the pure, true ways of God. And he wants God to remove from him the false direction so he'll never walk that way again. Now, here's what I find intriguing about the language. He does not pray, remove me from the false way. Because that's a crazy prayer. Because we're all sinners. And in order to remove me from the false way, I got to leave the world. We're all corrupt. We all have a warped bent, as it were. We're all fallen, and we're all people with a sin nature. And obviously, this guy is very much aware of his own twisted nature. So he doesn't pray, remove me from the false way. He says, take the false way from me. And what I understand that to mean is, he says, I want you to take the things from me, take away from me the false things that pull me away from you. Remove that. Remove that. Give me a love for your word. Give me a love for your law. Grant me that. but remove away from me things that are pulling me away from that. And the false ways of lying are much more than just verbal lying. I mean, there are people that verbally lie, but you have to remember there's lying religions, there are lying politicians, there's a lying pride, there's a lying self-righteousness, there's a lying philosophy, lying education. And the writer of this psalm says, God, remove anything false from me. Let me spot that. Let me see that. Let me pinpoint that. And I don't want to be around that. And I want you to do one thing. Be gracious to me, if you would, please, and graciously grant me your law. In other words, allow me to understand your precious word to the point that I'm spotting the true way versus the false way. Now, Jesus said himself when he was here on earth in John 17, thy word is truth. God's word is truth. It's the only absolute truth that exists in this world, is the written scriptures. The evidence of that is overwhelming, that it is truly what it claims to be. It's the inspired scriptures, the inspired word of God. And in bibliology, I know Mr. Kelly's taking you through those proofs and evidences. That's a great Sunday school doctrine class where he establishes the evidence that the Bible is what it claims to be, the word of God. And what this person wanted to know was he wanted to know the truth of God. He wanted to be able to sift through all of the false ways and false areas of life and be able to understand and apply the scriptures in any given situation. So he asked God that he would permit him to do that. His sixth request is he confesses to God what he's decided to do. Now remember, this guy's been low, probably because of his own sin. He says in verse 30, I have chosen the faithful way. I place your ordinances before me. I cling to your testimonies. O Lord, do not put me to shame. I shall run the way of your commandments, for you will enlarge my heart. Now keep in mind, this guy has been as low as a dog. I mean, he's as low as you can get. He's a very depressed man. In that state of depression, he makes four decisions. Decision number one, I have chosen to walk in the faithful way. That's what he says in verse 30. I've chosen the faithful way. Which tells us an interesting point. One of the keys getting out of the rut is your choices. One of the keys to blossoming in a happy, holy, healthy life are the choices we make. And obviously, some choices will leave us depressed. But some choices can make us happy. And this writer had learned an important lesson. The key to me getting out of this depression is I have to make a choice to walk in the faithful ways of God. And that word faithful means I'm going to walk in the ways that the Word of God have established, that's faithful, firm, secure, instead of walking in false ways, deceitful ways, instead of walking in ways that are lying ways. I'm going to walk in the way of the truth of the Word. I'm going to understand Scripture. God, let me understand the Scriptures, because I'm going to choose to walk in accordance with the faithful Word of God. And anything that is contrary to God's word is not a way you want to walk. If it's contrary to God's word, it's going to lead you to depression. That's the end of that rabbit trail. That's where it'll end up. Now, you may start down that rabbit trail for a while, walk on that path for a while, but if it's contrary to the word of God, it's going to leave your soul in the dust. It'll leave you in the dirt. You'll end up depressed, just like this guy. And at some point, you have to come to a decision, and am I going to walk in the ways of God or not? Am I going to compromise what God wants me to do, or am I going to obey what God wants me to do? That choice right there can determine whether you'll be depressed or not. The second decision he made is he committed himself to the Word. Verse 30, I've placed your ordinances before me. Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take the Word of God, all of the judgments of God, and the ordinances refer to all of that, all of the things that I have to think through regarding decisions, and I'm going to make my decisions based on the Scriptures. That's what that means. He knew that this was a critical key to getting out of his depression. He was going to think through decisions in light of Scripture. He was going to have a reverent commitment to the Word of God. He was willing to obey the Word of God because he knew this will get my soul out of that dust. Thirdly, he clings to the Word. I love that, verse 31. I cling to your testimonies. It's the same word in verse 25 when his soul was clinging to the dust. Now it's clinging to the Word. So you're going from this low depression. This is the way to get out of the dirt. This is the way to get out of the filth. Don't cling to the dirt. Cling to the Word. And the idea of clinging to God's testimonies is you hold tight. You hold fast to the Word of God. You take your stand on the Word of God. No one, I guarantee you this, will ever regret clinging to the Scriptures. Someone who clings to the Scriptures is heading toward great, great things. And when you are clinging to the Scriptures, you have every right to ask God, Lord, never put me to shame. You know, John says in 1 John that when we face the Lord Jesus Christ, we can face Him one of two ways. With confidence or with shame. One who clings to the Scriptures. One who wants to walk in the ways of God. Who gets up out of the dust. Who open and honestly confesses before the Lord and gets back on track with the Word. Never has to worry about being ashamed. And Charles Bridges said, this needs to be preached to backsliders. He said, what we need to be telling backsliders is get off the shameful path and start clinging to the Word of God. Which brings us to this fourth decision. I'll run according to the Word of God. Verse 32, I shall run the way of your commandments, for you will enlarge my heart. As you're running toward an understanding of the Scriptures, your heart's going to develop. Your soul's going to blossom. You're going to come out of that dirt. You're going to get up out of the dust. You're going to soar, as it were, like metaphorically speaking, like an eagle. And the writer says, I'm going to run to your Word. As one commentator said, slow motion is easily stopped when it comes to the Word of God. Run to the Scriptures. Run to the Scriptures when you're depressed. Run to the Scriptures when you're in sin. Run to the Scriptures when you're feeling low. Run to the Scriptures when you don't know what decisions you ought to make. Run to the Scriptures. God will work in your heart and mind and soul when you run to the Scriptures. But if you run your way, if you continue to run your way, you'll run straight into depression. You'll end up saying what the writer began this section with, my soul cleaves to the dust. But run to the Word, and you'll run right into the joy of the Lord. Dr. Merrill Unger said spiritual revival through God's Word produces 10 wonderful effects. It lifts the soul from the dust of sin, worldliness, and carnality. It fully uncovers one's sin and prompts confession. It results in a renewed, powerful prayer life. It enhances new learning and understanding by the power of the Holy Spirit. It gives new power for witnessing and testimony. It results in a deep contrition for sin. It produces renewed strength and courage. It causes deep hatred for falsity. It causes the revived soul to grow deep in honoring and obeying God's ordinances, and it results in an enlargement of heart as all the other effects are experienced. Dr. Unger said, that's the way it is for one who wants a revival through the Word. And that's what the D section in Psalm 119 is designed to teach.